We shall turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read in the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. We shall read at verse 5. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, from verse 5. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. I am black but comely. The true believer is not ignorant of his condition. He knows something of the reality of sin in his soul. The child of God has long ago put his or her amen to the truth that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And though the child of God may not have understood it at the beginning so much as he or she does now, and no doubt the child of God will see it more clearly in the future, yet there is no hesitation in agreeing with the truth that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no difficulty in this. The child of God, the believer in Christ, has been taught by the Spirit and has been led to pray as the publican prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And so the believer is saying, my heart is full of sin, and my heart is evil. I have a corrupt nature. Yes, the truth of God's word is what I see in my own experience, and I can relate to the text before us. I am black. My heart is sinful. I am corrupt. I am black. But as you see here, the church or the child of God not only confesses their nature as black, they also admit that they are comely. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. And this may be, and no doubt is, the more difficult confession to make. It is one thing to acknowledge that we're black, and we know that. The Word of God tells us, we see it in our own experience. But to admit that we're also comely, it may take a struggle for a sinner who is awakened and yet truly trusting in Christ to come to terms with this wonderful truth. We are black, but we are also comely, and we are comely in the righteousness of Christ. And we have it from the lips of Christ himself when he says at the end of, towards the end of chapter 2, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. And are we ready to agree, if we're the children of God, that we are comely in the sight of Christ? How astonishing. The believer may well say, is it really true? Am I really pleasing in the sight of the Lord Jesus? Well, this is what the child of God, speaking according to truth, will say. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. And we want to consider this part of God's word, noticing first of all, with the Lord's help, the condition of the believer, the condition, their overall condition in the light of our text here. Being made a keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. And secondly, the confession of the believer. I am black, and indeed I am sinful. I acknowledge this blackness. It's true. But it does not stop there. In the third place, the comeliness of the believer. I am black, but comely. Comely. So the Lord's people are pleasing in the sight of Christ, pleasing to his eyes. Thou art all fair, my love. So first of all, the condition of the believer, and secondly, the confession of the believer, and thirdly, the comeliness of the believer. And here in the Song of Solomon, the one who is speaking is the believer, or the church of Christ, the spouse of Christ, who is the Savior of the body, his church. So we have, first of all, the condition of the believer. Verse 5, I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. And the church, the believer, the speaker here who represents the church, is speaking to a certain group. And these are the daughters of Jerusalem. And we need to ask, who are they? Who are the daughters of Jerusalem? Well, they are distinguished from the mother's children who were angry with her. And they are interested. They are inquiring. In chapter 5, verse 8, or rather verse 9, they are asking, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? So they are perhaps among those who are seeking. And they are visible members of the church. They are members of the church, visible church. And perhaps they include weak believers, those who are easily troubled, anxious, and perhaps are even prone to stumble. And so they might be easily stumbled by what they see in some of the Lord's dear people. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. And notice that these words come right after the church saying that the king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. And then she says, I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. It's as if the daughters of Jerusalem, the members of the visible church, are asking the bride or the believer, why are you rejoicing? Are you not black? Are you not sinful? What do you have to be so cheerful and rejoice about? And here's the reply. I am black. Yes, it is true. But I'm also comely. And you may be taken up with the outward appearance. You see the sad aspect of the believer's life, the tribulation, the difficulties that a believer goes through, and yes, there are sins and failings, but you're taken up with what is black, and you're forgetting the fact that I'm also comely. And so you're likely to look only at the failings and the faults and the troubles and the trials of the children of God. But you need to recognize that there is more. There is grace. There is Christ and his righteousness, who is the one who covers the children of God in his own comeliness. Yes, I am black, but do not look at only what is black. You need to see that though I am black, yet I am comely. Look not upon me because I am black, she says. Don't just look at this. Because the sun hath looked upon me. You need to understand why I am black. Because the sun has scorched me. Just as we read in the parable of the sower, the Lord says, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Well, the sun beats down upon some plants, and they begin to wither. Well, that is what the believer may appear to be in the eyes of the world or the eyes of those who do not have deeper knowledge. The child of God will admit, yes, I am black, contemptible, despised by others, both because of my infirmities and my own sins. And you need to see that this is what is the cause. The sun is scorching me. There are difficulties, there are troubles. And I'm weighed down and I am burdened and I am low. The sun hath looked upon me. And you see, this is the reason some may stumble when they see that God's people seem to wither sometimes in their trials and difficulties, and they're not cheerful and not thriving as they themselves would like to be. And the world may look at that and say, well, who would want to be a believer? Who would want to follow such a religion where the people, the members, are downcast and troubled and they're going through such hardship? But the church is saying, look not upon me because I am black. Don't just take that into account. And one reason why the church may be downcast, or an individual believer may be despondent and troubled and black because of suffering, is because of this, in the middle of verse 6. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. My mother's children were angry with me. This is one reason I am black. The sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. This is why I am low and troubled and black in your estimation. My mother's children were angry with me. And who are these? Well, they are those who have the same mother. In other words, the church. But, as some have put it, they may have a different father. And that is the world, or even the devil. In other words, they appear to be brethren, but they're false brethren. My mother's children were angry with me. And perhaps we can even apply it not just to the hypocrite, not just to false brethren, the ungodly who are still in the church, but to even believers who are not acting like brethren. My mother's children were angry with me. In other words, to this extent, they're not following the commands of Christ, and they're not displaying the character of Christ in love to one another. My mother's children, people in the visible church, were angry with me. And how did that anger become manifest? In this, they made me the keeper of the vineyards. Now, you might be ready to say, well, that seems like an honor, to be a keeper of the vineyard. Well, obviously, the context is that this is not a position of trust. This is not one of influence in the vineyard of the Lord. But the idea is here that being a keeper of the vineyard means that one is put to hard labor. One is going through hardship. They are making me go through trouble and difficulty and making me go through hard service, hard labor. And you say, how do we know that this is the meaning? Well, there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 5 that is actually a promise to the church of spiritual prosperity, but there are those who are doing service for the church, and these are the foreigners, these are the strangers, they are the ones who are keeping feeding the flocks, and they are the vine dressers. So I'll just read it here, Isaiah chapter 61, which opens with a promise of the coming Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Verse 4, and they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and sons, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. So the strangers in the church, they will be the vine dressers. They will be the keepers of the vineyard. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. So clearly the church will receive relief and spiritual blessing from the Lord, and the hardship, the labor will be left to others. And this is just confirming for now that being made a keeper of the vineyard means to go through trouble and hard labor. They, in other words, as Matthew Poole puts it, my mother's children, they used me like a slave, putting me upon the most dishonorable and troublesome services. And so the church is going here through a difficult situation. My mother's children were angry with me. This is a difficult time. This is a troublesome time. Yes, I am black. I am downcast. I'm not as cheerful as I would be, but you see, the sun hath looked upon me, and my mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. And the ideas that are brought here is that of pain. This opposition that the church experiences from angry brethren is hurtful. There's also shame because it's the poor and despised. They're the ones who are keeping the vineyard. And so the Lord's people can be downcast because of the reproach of the church, that people are dismissing the cause of Christ. They're thinking ill of the gospel and ill of the church because of problems in the church. So there's shame in this. There's distraction. The child of God feels that they cannot be near to the house of God when their brethren are angry with them, not able to be directly exercised in the worship of God. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, pain and shame and distraction. But here's the main point. The church is saying, look not upon me because I am black. Don't just take this into account. Yes, there is hardship and difficulty. Yes, I am despised by others, but I am also comely. I'm a child of God. I'm covered with Christ's righteousness. He has put grace in me. And do not stumble at this fact that believers are often downtrodden. They are neglected. They are despised by others, even by brethren in the church. The church can say in this situation, I have not wronged them. I am going through this difficulty without any blame attached to me. Yes, before God, I'm a sinner. I deserve this. But before others, this is a trial that I'm going through. They are needlessly angry with me. So the fault is not my own, but the angry brethren. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. They're making me go through this toil and putting me to hardship for no reason. So do not stumble at these afflictions. And yes, there are sufferings in the Christian life. There's hardship to encounter because of various difficulties, and that is why the believers are constantly being encouraged to persevere. The Lord Jesus said that in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Paul tells those who are just entering into the church that through much tribulation, ye shall enter into the kingdom of God. So there are crosses, there is suffering, there is hardship, but the child of God is feeling this, the greatest difficulty, the greatest burden that I have is the fact that I am black. It is not only crosses, but corruption. It's not only the fact that I suffer, but the fact that I sin. I am a sinner, and that's the greatest burden and trouble that I have. And so we come, secondly, to consider the confession of the believer. I am black, and mine own vineyard have I not kept. The confession of the believer. Well, again, the context is the daughters of Jerusalem are needing these objections cleared away. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black. This is what you're focused on, but do not look at that. You need to understand that the sun hath looked upon me. Yes, there are difficulties and trials. And there is also this, my mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. And there is also this, mine own vineyard have I not kept. Do not stumble over this. Do not let this be a drawback in your eyes. The spots even that I have, the blackness, the corruption, the sins, the failings. Yes, I freely acknowledge, but that is not from anything on the part of Christ. It's not from any grace. It's not godliness that produces these spots and the blemishes. What is it from? It's my own unwatchfulness. My own vineyard have I not kept. That's where the blackness comes from. It comes from my own sinful heart, my own neglect, my own failings, my own sins. So do not think ill of my Savior because of my blackness. The Lord Jesus is precious, but I am black. So here is the confession of the believer, and perhaps we can see something here of cause and effect, perhaps. And that is in my mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. I'm going through this toil, and they are making me work hard and going through all this hardship and trouble. They make me the keeper of the vineyards, and I have to toil because of that. But one reason may be is my own vineyard have I not kept. In other words, I'm not going to pretend that there is no cause. Why am I going through the difficulty? Why am I going through a trouble and trial? Is this not chastisement? Is this not in some way the Lord correcting me? It may be. You see, even though we may suffer because of faithfulness, there's also such a thing as suffering for neglect. Suffering because of our failings, and the Lord is using these troubles and trials to correct us. We need correcting, do we not? The Lord may use very many different things to correct his people, to bring them to a better mind, to stir them up to duty. And it almost always reminds them of their past neglect, their previous failings. Who of us can say that we have kept our vineyard as we should? Now, what is this vineyard? Well, it's used in a slightly different context, even though it is in the same verse. And the vineyard here is in a more positive light. And you say, how can that be? Because you're saying the word vineyard is used in one sense immediately before. Well, that is the way it is sometimes. And we understand the metaphor according to the main idea that is brought before us, according to the context. Mine own vineyard have I not kept. This is a negative thing. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. Well, that is a negative thing, but a negative according to that particular way of the dealings of visible members with the child of God. They are angry, brethren, making her a keeper of the vineyards. In other words, to slave, to work hard. But here, mine own vineyard have I not kept. That's a complaint. So I should be keeping my vineyard. How do I do that? Well, what is the vineyard? Well, the vineyard is that which God has given to a child of God. The vineyard is the grace that should be watched over, or talents and gifts and abilities that should be used to his glory. The vineyard is the privileges that God has given us. It may be our position of influence. It may be the means of grace that God has afforded us. And so the child of God is confessing here that she has neglected the vineyard. Mine own vineyard have I not kept. I have not been watchful as I should have been. I have not been diligent to use the means of grace as I ought to have been. I have not improved upon the opportunities that have been given to me, opportunities of receiving good or doing good for others. Mine own vineyard, sadly, have I not kept. So here's the cause and effect that we were speaking of. The cause is our own neglect, and the effect is, well, God chastising us by allowing the mother's brethren, people in the church, to be angry with us because we have neglected our own vineyard. Well, that may be, but we certainly can learn that it is through unwatchfulness and neglect of our own souls and diligence and the means of grace that the weeds of sin begin to grow. That the garden not being kept, there are many unfavorable objects in the garden that need to be rooted out. And there's therefore the call to more diligence and more labor because of previous neglect. This is what the child of God complains of. My own vineyard have I neglected. I've not kept it. I've not kept my heart. I've not been watching over my senses, my attitudes as I ought to have done, my actions, my behavior. I've not examined myself as diligently and as acutely and with as I ought to have done. My own vineyard have I not kept. And therefore, I am black. I freely admit it. I am black. And you may ask, and others may ask, well, how black are you? Well, the answer is, I am black as the tents of Kedar. Black as the tents of Kedar. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. You know, you see how the church here, the speaker here, puts black and comely together. And so here are two opposites, black on the one hand, comely on the other hand. They're put side by side. I'm black, but comely. And then the comparisons for black and comely are found in the second half of the verse, tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. So the church is saying, I am black as the tents of Kedar, but I am comely as the curtains of Solomon. I am black. How black? Black as the tents of Kedar. Well, the tents of Kedar were the tents that were made of black goatskins. Kedar is referring to the nomadic tribes of the Arabs. Kedar is actually the second son of Ishmael. And the psalmist in Psalm 120 and verse 5 speaks of dwelling in the tents of Kedar. If I can find it. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesek, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. And this no doubt refers to him feeling that he's far off from the worship of God. He's so far away and he wants to draw nigh to God, but here he is as a wandering nomad in the tents of Kedar. At any rate, the tents of Kedar are referring to the blackness of these tents, made of goat's hair, black goat skins. And so the church is responding, yes, I am black as the tents of Kedar. And how black is that? Taking a common blackness, no doubt everyone knew that the tents of Kedar, they were black. And so we would not use that as a reference point today. We might say, how black are you? I am as black as charcoal, black as pitch, black as tar, as black as can be. Yes, and that is what the child of God feels when they are awakened further to see the corruption of their nature. What a fitting description of the corruption of our nature. Black, symbolizing the darkness of man's sinful nature. So here is this common symbol. And the child of God is not boasting of great advances in holiness. Often the believer feels he or she is getting worse. That's how they feel. When really, generally speaking, it's not so much that they are getting worse, but their eyes are opened to see more clearly the blackness of their nature, the blackness of their sins. And when they see their failings, and they see their neglect, and their heart growing cold, and they're more sluggish in spiritual exercises, they're not getting the benefit from the means of grace, perhaps as they may have done previously, they see that they have only themselves to blame. And where does all of this coolness and coldness and deadness in spiritual duties, where does it come from? It comes from their own deceitful hearts, their lack of watchfulness, and that comes from their own black hearts. As Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." You say they're sinful and they're vile. I'm just like them by nature. There's no difference in essence from their blackness and my blackness. We're all just vile and despicable by nature. I am black. And very often, our failure to acknowledge how black we are is owing to the fact that we are black. There was a month or so ago, forest fires in Brazil. Perhaps they're still going on. And the reporter in the helicopter was going over the trees, and it was so smoky, you could see very little. The reporter was saying, "It is so bad that you cannot see how bad it is." And it is our darkness that hinders us from seeing how dark we are, how sinful we are. Sin distorts our spiritual perception. And that is most especially the case with the unconverted. They are failing to acknowledge their blackness. They are not ready to admit how corrupt they are. Why? Because sin has darkened their understanding. Going on in sin leads to hardness of heart. And then we begin to justify ourselves, and we cast blame upon others or even upon God for our own neglect and our lack of seeking. You see how black we are. Isn't that just the enmity of the human depraved heart coming out? We're deceiving ourselves all the while, ready to justify ourselves and blame the Most High because we're still not saved. Well, have we been seeking the Lord? Are we earnestly crying to Him for salvation? Are we going to a throne of grace pleading with the Prince of Peace to give us the sprinkling of the blood? But the child of God is seeking to do so. And we would encourage you to do so, whatever your case is today, that you would go to a throne of grace. You would go to Jesus, who is the fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness, to wash away your blackness and to make you clean and white in His eyesight. Well, the child of God is admitting, "Yes, I am black. Mine own vineyard have I not kept." And sometimes the child of God has a greater perception of the blackness of their evil hearts. They sometimes are surprised by temptation They were just going along thinking all was well. They may have been praying and meditating, and suddenly sin catches them by surprise. They're brought into a situation whereby their vulnerability comes out all the more, and they see themselves as utter failures. It's partly because they were not watching. They were not earnestly seeking God for the whole armor, recognizing there are traps, there are snares. The psalmist speaks of the enemy who privily lays snares for him, and we need to be watching for those snares. The military, when they are invading another country, well, they will certainly watch for the mines. They know that bridges are about to blow up. They will cut the wires. They're looking out for these traps and these snares. We're on the spiritual battlefield. Where's our watchfulness? But again, the fact is, sin takes them by surprise, and sometimes, as John Owen puts it, this can be their greatest burden. He calls these experiences surprisals, where sin catches them off guard, and they fall into the trap, and there they are. They see how failing they are, the blackness of their sin coming out. And yes, the child of God is sometimes given a view that just astonishes him in regard to their sin. And they see that their hearts are like Satan. They feel that there's a cage of unclean birds within them. And the evil thoughts that maybe from Satan, but Satan has so much to work with in our own evil hearts. And as John Owen again puts it, there is no sin that a child of God will not commit or will not be tempted and feel the evil heart drawing out after when it's presented in a form of temptation, when it's suited to our particular inclinations. The evil thing, when it's presented in the form of temptation, it strikes an evil chord. It draws out the evil. Oh, there's a black, corrupt heart within us. And the temptation is brought before us. It's ready to ignite and spark into an explosion of sin. Oh, how we need to be kept. I am black, the child of God says. I have a loathsome nature. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Yes, I am black, I am downcast, I am low, I am very sad sometimes. I agree, it's true, I am black. And yes, I'm afflicted and I go through trouble and difficulty and hardship. And sometimes people are angry with me and it's not my fault, but they're just angry because they are angry. But I really deserve it because I'm black. And I have not been watching over myself as I should have been. And my greatest burden, in spite of all this trial and hardship and difficulty, the greatest burden I have, my greatest grief is that I am black because of sin, my own corrupt nature. Now let's pause a moment. You're all listening. Let each one ask themselves, is this my experience? Have I seen my black heart? Do I feel burdened and grieved because of my blackness? Let conscience answer the question. And if you haven't seen your black heart, pray. You don't want to pray this, naturally, but you pray. Show me myself. Lord, show me myself, show me my black heart. I need to see it, or else I will not desire Christ. I will not go to Jesus until I see my black heart, my sin. Not till I see that sin is an evil thing and it brings me under the wrath of God and it offends God. I need to see that evil. I need to see sin to be what it is, that I might desire Christ, the precious Savior, as all my salvation and all my desire. Yes, I am black. But do not stumble over this, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. I am black, and I have not kept my vineyard as I ought to have done. But remember this, don't just look at the blackness. Look not upon me because I am black. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, yes, but also as the curtains of Solomon, comely as the curtains of Solomon. So, in the third place, the comeliness of the believer. Well, there are some who detect and or try to detect every spot and every blemish and every failing of a child of God. The ungodly, I think one of the Puritans says, are like flies going on sores of the wounded. They're ready to alight upon those sores, and that's all they'll focus upon. And they're ready to detect all the inconsistencies. But they forget about the privileges of believers, and they overlook the graces of believers. Look not upon me because I am black, but look also at this, I am comely. I am comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. And very often the ungodly will bring up the faults of believers to justify themselves in their not seeking the Lord, and makes them feel better about their own godless life. But even believers may act like angry brethren and be ready to point out the faults and look at the problems of so-and-so in the church and that person over there and their failings, but very slow to commend the brethren in the church. Well, we are to point out the sins, if they are serious, of our fellow believers. We should not let sin lie on our believers. We need to go to our brother, but it should be in a spirit of love, and we should also be ready to commend them, to acknowledge their good deeds, their strong, positive traits. Well, the believer and every child of God is to lay to heart this wonderful fact. I am black, yes, black as the tents of Kedar, black as black can be, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, comely as the curtains of Solomon. Whether this is the curtains that hung in the temple, like the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place, or all the hangings and curtains, drapery in the palace of Solomon, we can be very sure of this. They were splendid curtains. They were beautiful to look at. Oh, how comely they were, and that's how comely I am, says the child of God. Can you imagine comely and wonderful and splendid looking as the curtains of Solomon? Solomon in all his glory. Yes, comely as that, comely as the curtains of Solomon. So again, don't take notice only of the blackness. Look at what is comely. I have in me what will both humble me and what will comfort me. And I need to acknowledge both. Yes, I am black, this humbles me, but I am comely and this comforts me. I am comforted and encouraged by my comeliness, because my comeliness is not my own. It's not mine. But I am comely through his comeliness. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 14, God is speaking to the church, that is Israel, that he delivered from Egypt and established as a nation. It was the Old Testament church. He says to her, that is the church, thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee. I have put it upon thee. And so what is this telling us, this comeliness? But the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ that covers us like a garment. which makes us presentable and acceptable so that God looks upon us and accepts us as righteous in his sight. Only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Every believer looking to Jesus, his righteousness is imputed to them, laid to their account. God accepts us on that basis. And we're not talking about the righteousness that is infused into us by the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the righteousness of Christ that's imputed to us, credited to our account as the way, as the foundation of God dealing with us in a way of pardon and acceptance. That is the righteousness of Christ. We're comely, pleasing in his sight because of that glorious white robe of his righteousness. Do you remember the church says in response to the daughters of Jerusalem, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? What does the church say? Chapter 5, verse 10, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. My beloved is white. Me? I am black. He is white. I am black, but he is white, and his wonderful whiteness of his holiness and righteousness is imputed to me. I am white, I am comely through his comeliness, through his whiteness. I am black, but he is white. I am black, but comely. Do you desire the white robe of the righteousness of Christ? This is a great reason to rejoice for every believer, everyone who truly desires it. And the evidence of desiring Christ is also in a determination to flee sin, to turn from sin. That's the evidence. But a sincere desire to have Christ, a sincere desire to depart from iniquity, that's the lowest mark. We could hardly go lower than that. For the true believer to desire Christ, well, then his righteousness covers you. And you can rejoice in that righteousness. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. How? As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Is this not a pleasing sight? Is this not a reason to be cheerful, to be comely, to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, the white robe? This is what Christ provides as a wedding garment for every believer. So that the apostle says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, ye are complete in him, comely in him. How comely, so clean, washed in the blood of the Lamb. These are they which came out of great tribulation. Yes, they go through difficulty and trial. They came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They're looking to Jesus. They're following Jesus. And they've washed their robes. And they're comely. Comely in the sight of God. Comely in the sight of Christ. Comely in their own sight. Because they admit, I am black but comely. When they're looking to Christ in his righteousness. And they're assured they're covered with that righteousness. They're comely. It may be hard to admit, but they will admit it. Yes, the Word of God says, I am comely. That's why I rejoice. Yes, my blackness makes me humble and low, but my comeliness causes me to rejoice. Yes, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Their comeliness is not in themselves. It's not of themselves. It's not by themselves. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly, that being justified by his grace, we may have the hope of eternal life. The washing of regeneration. They're made comely through that as well. comely by His grace, by the Holy Spirit washing them, and they are being drawn to Christ, and they're being drawn away from sin, and they desire Christ more and more. They're being made more and more comely. How? Because they're being made more and more like Christ. Christ is the altogether lovely one. Christ is fairer than the children of men. And the comeliness of a child of God is partly through the graces of the Spirit, whereby they are conformable to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are like Him. They have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. They know that. They're not satisfied with their blackness, oh no. And they're not satisfied with their attainments, with whatever progress they have made. Well, they see they're black. They see how short they come. They see how much progress needs to be made in being like Christ. And that's what they desire. And that's what they're encouraged to do. They're to put on the new man like a robe, putting on the new man like a coat. Put off the old man like an old, dirty, soiled coat. Put off the old man. Put off those works of darkness. Put on the new man. Put on righteousness. Be clothed with humility, says the Apostle Peter. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Can we do this of ourselves? No, we're not required to. We go to the Lord for strength. We're going to the Lord in prayer, asking the Lord to give us grace and help us turn from sin and mortify the deeds of the body and follow after righteousness. Yes, we're giving it our all. We're putting all our effort and energy into it. We would be very, very, very neglecting if we didn't do that. We would be held accountable if we did not try with all our might to follow Christ. But you see, it is the Holy Spirit working in us all the while. And we're to ask for more grace, more of the Spirit, the continual supply of the sanctifying Spirit of Christ, to use the words of the Confession of Faith, that continual supply, so that we're going from strength to strength in the ways of the Lord. Yes, we feel weak, we're not denying that, but we're to be encouraged by the promises, encouraged to go forward, lay hold of the truth of God's word that He, by which He assures us it is impossible for Him to lie, and God's people will persevere through His grace. They have been made comely by the righteousness of Christ, and they are comely by His grace. Psalm 149, verse 4, He will beautify the meek with salvation. There need be no doubt in the child of God's mind, they are comely. And they have the word of Christ Himself. Verse 15 of our chapter. Behold, take notice of this. Look, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. So attractive to Christ, those yearnings deep within us for Christ and likeness to Him. How attractive that is. How we need this encouragement, this sympathy of Christ at a throne of grace, who looks down upon the poor child of God groaning, yearning after nearness to the Lord and likeness to Christ, mourning, grieving over all the failings. But the Lord Jesus is saying, Thy countenance is comely, and thy voice is sweet. How sweet and how comely the child of God is to Christ. How this should encourage every believer. And notice how at the end of the book of the Song of Solomon, the church is now keeping the vineyard. Verse 12, chapter 8, My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. My vineyard. I have neglected, I've not kept my vineyard, but it's before me now. I'm looking at it. We are to watch over our souls and our hearts and our attitudes to examine and see how things stand between us and the Lord. We're to be acquainted with our own hearts and ask for more grace. He giveth more grace. And we should remember always that which would give us humility and that which would give us joy. I am black but comely. The joy of believers is a humble joy. They're not proud. They're not boasting of their good works. I'm black, and I won't forget this as long as I'm here in this world. As James Durham puts it, it is good to be affected with our failings and walking under the sense of it, even in our most joyous frames. We may rejoice in the Lord, but still remember, I'm a sinner. And join trembling with your mirth. And for our encouragement, for every believer, we need to have discernment. We should pray for discernment and see the difference between sin in us and sin reigning over us. If we're mourning over our failings, if we truly desire Christ, sin does not have dominion over us. And we need to always remember this, that when we see our sin and corruption, we should not deny the work of grace in us, but give God the glory for it. I am black, but comely. It's a means of peace. Though I'm a sinner, yet I have a Savior, Christ, to continually wash me and to give me grace to go on from strength to strength. And finally, friend, again I ask, have you seen your blackness? If you don't see the evil of sin, how will you see the preciousness of Christ? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But he's not precious to you unless you're also seeing sin to be a bitter thing. But we don't leave it there. We say to you, look to Jesus. Go to him for the opening of your eyes, to see your condition and to see his preciousness, to see his suitability to your need as a sinner on the way to eternity. You're full of blackness, covered with filthiness of your own sin, but he is able to cover you with his white robe of righteousness. He's able to wash you and make you clean in his sight. Then go to him for that cleansing. Go to him for that righteousness. And then you will say, I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. May he bless his word. Let us pray.